Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to another edition of Power Talk. Listen, I'm glad you joined me today because I think this session may be one of the more important ones that you'll take part in. And the reason I say that is the area we're going to talk about today is the area that when we fail to master it, gives us the greatest pain of any area of our lives. That's a big statement to make, but I really do believe that when this area is not handled, it doesn't matter how successful you become in virtually any other area, you're going to have pain. You're going to have frustration. You're going to have feelings of being angry or sad or depressed, overwhelmed, or frankly, just feeling lonely, alone, or unloved. If you master this area of life, and I bet you can guess what it is at this stage, this is the area where the highest highs are possible. An experience of life that is so high, so joyous, so ecstatic, and so sustainable if this area is mastered. And the area I'm talking about, of course, is intimate relationships. Now, for most people, when you bring this up, especially a lot of men or overachievers, whether it be men or women, they'll say, yeah, big deal, relationships. Yeah, I'm working on that. And I can't tell you how often I work with some of the most successful business people in the world. And very often, you know, you're sitting with somebody and they command armies of businesses and people, and their word has such power. But when it gets into the intimate relationship side, they go from warrior to worrier, or they go from, you know, being a monster to somebody that's, you know, barely can make it through the day. They're like a little mouse. And I see this happen every single day as I deal with people. And the reason is most of us feel more control of our own careers. We're in control of our own businesses. We know we can break through any obstacle. We can shape our destiny. We can make it happen. I mean, if you're an achiever, if you're listening to this program, you must be because you want more and you're looking for it. If you're one of those people that makes things happen, this is a hard area to make things happen because you're dealing with this amorphous thing that's always changing, moving, growing, shaping, and seems to be twisting in different ways called people. Or more specifically, for you, depending upon your sexual orientation and beliefs and values, a man or a woman. Now, this is not an easy thing because both these creatures are so unique. I think my friend John Gray has become quite famous in talking about how they come from different planets and helping people to understand those planets. That, you know, things are very different in the way these people look at life and the way they value things. And yet, both these planets need each other to succeed. More importantly, they need each other to be fulfilled. And so I thought I'd take you on a brief journey with me and take it maybe to a live seminar, because when I talk about these subjects on a tape, invariably, everyone's an individual and we all have our own conditioning about how things are and how men are, how women are. And so if I start making statements, very often people will argue with those. So it's really useful to be in an environment where you have people from literally all over the world. So I'm going to, in a few moments, take you to a life mastery program where we have people from 80 nations in attendance there. We have about 5 languages, if I recall, being translated simultaneously. So you're going to hear the world's response to these issues. Because I think it's really important to get outside of our conditioning, because the biggest limit we have to making our relationships passionate and absolutely sustainably enjoyable on a daily basis, where it's the dynamic part of your life that adds so much juice to everything else, is the beliefs that we have about how it's supposed to be. The beliefs we have about how we're supposed to be, or other people are supposed to be, specifically the beliefs we have about how men and women are supposed to be, when in reality we're all unique human beings. But there are masculine and feminine energies. There are women that are very masculine in their energy, and there are women that are very feminine, and likewise for men. In fact, we both have both energies inside of ourselves. But what we're going to deal with on this tape is how to find what is your dominant energy and how to use that to create what's called polarity, the energy that brings a relationship to the juiciest place it can be, and how to notice when that polarity, where that energy is being interrupted, and put it back on course immediately so your relationship becomes what I would call legendary. Now, I hope I've hooked you enough to listen. And by the way, you may say, well, this is great, Tony, but don't you teach a lot of stuff about relationships in other areas? Yes. But here's what I want to focus on today. Not just relationships, but passionate relationships. And there is a difference. I don't care how great a relationship is. We want passion. I mean, think of it this way. There's 2 questions you got to be able to ask yourself, because these are the 2 aspects of any great relationship. The first question is, what makes a relationship work? And the answer to that is certainty. When you have certainty about your partner, you're certain about their beliefs, you're certain how they're going to interact with you, you're able to trust them, you're able to have connection, you're able to have caring. What creates certainty? Believing you have things in common. When a person is certain you share some of the same goals, some of the same dreams, some of the same values, some of the same spiritual beliefs, that starts to create a bond with someone. However, there's a difference between a relationship that works and a passionate relationship. So you can have any great relationship with a best friend, with a brother, with a sister, with your mom, with a coworker, and what makes that relationship work, like any relationship work, is things in common. But here's the second question. What makes a relationship passionate? And the answer to that is something very different: uncertainty. See, if you know what somebody's going to do, when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it, it makes you comfortable. Comfort is what makes a relationship work. But after a while, too much comfort in an intimate relationship makes a relationship work. We got to work at it. And people say, yeah, relationships are just hard work. Bull. Relationships are not hard work when the people who are matched share enough in common, the relationship feels fairly effortless. That's what an effortless friendship is like. If you've ever been around somebody you've known for years and you just love to be with them and you have a great time, and it's not effortful to be with them. That's garbage that a relationship has to be work. If it's a lot of work, it's because you have too many values, beliefs, dreams, goals that are the opposite of one another, or at least they're radically different. You're not moving in the same direction. That's why it's always so much effort. It's because you're convincing yourself, it's okay, I can remold my partner. Yes, I can get them to agree with me. I was at an airport recently, and I was in another country, and I recognized someone. And it's a very famous person, and this person was coming on vacation. Actually, they're coming on their honeymoon. And I'm standing in line with this person, and my wife, Sage, is standing in the line next to me. We're both having a race to see who's going to get to the front. We're always doing crazy, playful stuff. And turns out that she is standing next to his new bride. And so we're having conversations separately from one another. And the interesting part was, at the end of the conversation, when Sage and I got back together and we're getting on the next little small plane we're jumping onto, we talked about our conversations and we knew, ooh, there are going to be some challenges here. And I'll tell you where it came from. He tells me about this person. He's been in this relationship with this person for about 7 years. I said, wow, 7 years and you finally got married. What happened? He goes, well, she really wanted it and, you know, I finally agreed we'd do it and everything else. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I mean, are you excited about it? He goes, yeah. He said, but I've loved the life the way we've always had. But, you know, now she'll probably be more happy. I thought, okay. And I said, so, are you got kids in the future? You know, the obvious question everybody pressures a person with the minute they're married, right? And he said, well, no, man. I've already raised, you know, 2 kids. I've done that thing. I don't want to do that. And she's a lot younger than I am. And she wants them. But I made it clear before we started, that ain't happening. If that's what you want, I'm the wrong guy. In fact, you know, she asked him and she said, you know, when we have kids, and he said, I looked at her and said, which man are you talking about? Because you ain't talking about me. And I thought, ooh. So then Sage tells me in her conversation, she's saying, yeah, he says he doesn't want kids, but you know what? I'm just going to rectify that. And I'm thinking, ooh, these people have very different goals. They can make this relationship work. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be work. Can you predict that? Because their goals are not in common. They're moving in different directions. And if one person dominates the other, even if one is successful in shaping the other one to their dreams, I got news for you. In all relationships, there need to be compromises. But if people are compromising what they value most, if they're compromising their dreams and goals, if they constantly are compromising, then the relationship is compromised. That's not going to work. So what makes a relationship work is finding enough in common. But what makes it passionate are those differences. You say, Tony, well, you're giving me a paradox. What do you mean those differences? I don't mean differences in values. I don't mean differences in beliefs. I mean differences in energy. You see, as I've already said, there is a masculine energy. Masculine energy does very specific things you're about to learn about. A masculine energy's focus is to produce a result. It's about focusing, creating. The masculine energy is about breaking through, fighting your way through every kind of task or challenge, marshaling all your resources, focusing your time so that you can finally break through and experience total freedom and have peace. The masculine is about taking big things and turning them into something small so you can just let go of it. Feminine energy is a little different. Feminine energy, whether it be in a man or a woman, is about absolutely embracing everything. Feminine energy is like a storm of energy. It's moving, it's motion. It isn't focus, it's all over the place. It's about engulfing, it's about filling up, it's about flow. It is not about peace, as any man knows. If you're trying to sit around in peace and you're around a really feminine woman, she will show you that peace is not the goal. It's about aliveness. It's about being fully alive, expressing every ounce of yourself. The play of these energies is where passion comes from. What you're going to discover in the next few minutes is that you may have allowed yourself at one time in a relationship, especially during the courting period, or what some people call the hunting period, you have a different way of looking at your relationship than you do when you get comfortable. So often, I remember when Sage and I first met years ago, I tell people about her and I was so passionate about what an extraordinary woman she is. And I talk about, my God, she's the smartest woman I've ever met in my life. I mean, you talk about somebody who can challenge me intellectually and yet she's the sexiest thing I've ever met. And she's the most adorable thing. She's so playful and loving like a little girl and she's a powerful woman. And I'm going on and on and on. They're going, you're making me sick. Talk to me about this in 6 weeks, you know? And so like 6 weeks later, I go, I'm telling you, it's even more than I thought before. I mean, I have never met a smarter person. I've never met a more loving person. I've never met a more spiritual person. I've never met a more passionate person. I've never met somebody I want to make love to more. I mean, I'm so hungry for every moment. They go, it'll pass. Talk to you in 90 days. Then it's 6 months. Then it's a year. Then it's two. Then it's three. Then it's the 7-year itch. I mean, no matter how long we've been together, when people see our passion, they first think we're newlyweds. And then after a while, they start going, well, boy, aren't you guys lucky? No, we understand the power of polarity. And we've had our times where that hunger wasn't there, but you can figure out what it is and change it in a moment. That's the promise here. So last thing I'll say to you before I send you to live seminar is this. Relationships, at least most relationships, they don't end for a lack of love. They end for a lack of intimacy. I'll say that again. Most relationships don't end because of lack of love. They end because of a lack of intimacy. And there are things that we do that not only turn our partner off, but literally switch off the trigger that creates this emotion. Your level of passion in your relationship, if you've picked the right partner, is not something that has a timeline on it. It just does require an understanding of the principles of polarity. So I'd like you to join me, if you would, at Life Mastery as we'll review these principles. And then I'm going to pop in and offer you some exercises for you to do, or maybe some sexercises, I don't know. But some things that you can do that can put some juice into your relationship at a level that's never been there before and can give you certainty that from this day forward, if you pick the right partner, you're going to be in a position where you can sustain that passion that most people dream about. Let's go ahead and enter into the conversation at Life Mastery. Your soulmate in life will be like you in almost every way, except if they're really your soulmate, they're going to be totally different than you in another way. Because most relationships do not end because of lack of love. Most relationships end because of lack of intimacy. How many would agree with me on this? Let me see a show of hands. Okay, so we should talk about that specifically, because now you know what you want, but the intimacy is where it's going to be make or break. And the reason for that is because you can get all the love stuff from anybody else, any other relationship except your intimate. You can get everything else, friendship, love, trust, all those other things. So if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're intimate and that's all you're getting and you don't have intimacy too at the level you desire, then you're not a happy camper. Polarity is the basis of intimacy, of sexual attraction. And if you don't have sexual attraction with your partner, it doesn't mean you can't have it. If you ever had it at one time, it can be restored if you understand the basis of it. So let's talk about it. Anytime you're around anyone that you have a polarity to, you are going to have a sexual attraction. Now, your belief structures may not allow you to feel that, but you're going to feel an attraction. You're going to feel an energy. Let's just put it that way. It's a very minimum. It doesn't matter how much you love your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend, whoever it is, you will feel an energy at least. And you see that. It can be totally appropriate. Doesn't mean that you speak about it. You don't act on it. But how many have been with your partner and you could just sense there was like an energy? They smiled a little more to that person, or they shook their hand, you know, just a little bit too nicely. Or you feel like they get a little too much attention. How many have had this experience? Say I. That's because, unless a person is very clear about it, that's going to happen naturally with anyone who is your polar opposite. Now, what do I mean by polar opposite? Energy, electricity comes from polarity, a positive and negative, for example. Male energy and female energy. Now, I'm not talking men and women here. As I told you already, men aren't a certain way and women aren't a certain way. Male energy is a certain way, female energy is a certain way, and can we use either one of those as men and women, yes or no? So we can shift gears. But do we take on a predominant energy? The answer is absolutely yes. Predominant energy. Having said that, what are those energies like? The feminine energy is the expression of all of life. The feminine energy is movement. The feminine energy takes in everything. And there are people in this room, male or female, that were born with a feminine essence. That doesn't mean that you're gay, and you can be gay also and have this as well. But it means the essence of you, male or female, is about taking everything that's little and making it big. Okay, that's what women do. That's what female energy does. Now, the beauty of that is it allows you to magnify everything in life. She can take a smell and turn it into a miracle, right? She can take, you know, a sound and turn it into the most beautiful dance. She can walk through the room, as that man said yesterday, who was so intense on the one hand, and then he was so poetic on the other about what women do to men. He really was. What he described was what men experience when women are feminine in their energy. The energy of femininity, which is totally free. There are no boundaries. That's why women can talk about anything all the time, and they can switch subjects in the middle of men are trying to figure out what they're talking about. We're talking about this. Where they're over here. Because there's no boundaries for a woman. A woman is take the little and make it big. A man's entire focus is take big stuff and make it little. That's their entire focus. How do I take all this complexity and make it simple enough that he can handle it? Because what a man wants above all else is freedom and peace. I want peace. A woman does not want peace. A woman wants everything to be going and flowing and experiencing. Male energy is the power to focus, the power to decide, the power to say, no, this is what we're going to do. The power to take a vision, act upon it, and produce a result. That's the male energy strength. And every woman in this room has access to that energy. Everyone does. But if it's your dominant energy, you lose your femininity. And when you lose your femininity, you will not attract a masculine man. Because you'll be a friend. You'll have that same energy. How many follow what I'm talking about here? Okay. Now, business, which energy is required for success in business? Is it all over the place, or is it focus, direct, take action, produce, measure, continue? Which one is it primarily? Business, you're rewarded for your ability to make decisions powerfully, to exclude things, to focus, to prioritize, to move. So women today are just as powerful as men in business because we both have access. But if a woman is in business all the time, and that's her primary way of meeting her six needs, she finds herself in a position where she never finds a masculine man. The men that get attracted to her are feminine men. And she likes it because there's a polarity. So she actually feels an attraction for them. But she's never totally fulfilled. Because if her essence is really feminine, she desperately wants someone who will take her. Because what women want is the gift that men have. Someone who can step in, decide, and make something happen. Someone with the power of a vision. Someone who can take all the energy of a woman and funnel it into something beautiful. Someone who can create boundaries. Someone who can create like a harbor, something that engulfs it. The ocean's wonderful, but there needs to be something to encompass it, or there's no shape to it. So every woman wants, who is feminine in her nature, not every woman, feminine in nature, wants a man who's masculine enough that they can take control. They don't want to make all the decisions. They get tired of it. Now, they'll do that for a while because if they're feminine, they'll do it because the man doesn't. And if you don't make the decisions, if you're always going, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? What, if you go back and forth on this too much, she will lose her attraction for you because you're not masculine. This does not mean you impose your will all the time. If you're making the decision because it's really for the best of you, she's looking for a man if she's feminine. Now, not all women are feminine, just like not all men are masculine. They want that. By the way, ladies, raise your hand if you agree with me on that you want a man strong enough who can make those decisions. You have to do it all. Ladies, raise your hand if it kills it for you if he never decides and you got to always think of it, if that kills your attraction for him. Like all around, gentlemen. Kills it. But men are confused by this because they're going, wait a second, if I go decide that stuff, then I'm being like one of those, you know, old guys that's like imposing his will. No, let me tell you two different things. First, the masculine and feminine energy. Think of the feminine energy like the ocean we talked about the other day. Right? It can go from calm to giant waves, and this scares some men. Because they're going, I was heading out for this island, all of a sudden there's a giant storm here. Get in the way of my getting the island. Why can't I just go straight to the island? We agreed to go to the island, let's go to the island. And now there's this storm going on. And if you wait long enough, all you gotta do is wait long enough, and the weather will change if you do nothing. Right? It's gonna move, it's gonna change. Now, if the weather was all the same, guys, you'd be bored silly. That's why you want a woman. The point is that the energies are radically different. The goals are different. Men are trying to reduce a lot to a little. Women are trying to take a little and make it into a lot. That's why men can't understand why women want to talk about all this stuff. And for men, it's all about reducing it to that element. So there's going to be some clashes there. But there also is, that's where the energy is. Because remember, what makes a relationship work is certainty. What makes it passionate is what? Uncertainty, the differences. So very often what happens is where a female energy is irritating to a male or vice versa, we want to try to get them to be more like us. Right? Because in a given task, maybe your approach is better. If it's business, a masculine approach is going to make you more effective. Right? If it's life and feeling love and juice, then a feminine approach is going to be better. So what happens, though, is people have become, and especially women have become, much more masculine in the culture, because if you remember last night, if I asked how many women here were told don't ever be dependent upon a man, 85% of women rose their hand. So as they raise their hand, what does that mean? It means they're trying to be masculine in their energy, or they're succeeding, which would be even worse. Now you say, well, Tony, are you saying I should stay home and you should be the one doing the business? No, not even slightly. I'm just saying you need to know there's a consequence for anything you do. Now some women see other women who are being feminine and they think they're being stupid. There's a big difference between feminine wildness and a ditz. And but what women do who have been trained not to be like that is they have a disdain for it. They don't know how to deal with that. That's a bit of a threat in that process. Women can be wild and not be a ditz. And a woman who can frolic is a woman who's happy, but she can't do that till she's found a man she can trust. Because there's an enormous amount of uncertainty when a woman has that much freedom to be all over the place. So you have to expand who you are as a man. And I tell you this because here are the elements you should look at first. If you've ever had an attraction with somebody and the attraction's gone, I guarantee you there's only one reason. The polarity is no longer there. One of you is flipped to the other side. When I say flipped, that doesn't mean that you become a man or a woman. It means that's the energy that's dominating the conversation right now, and that's why there's no attraction. So you're both talking about work, 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 work. So two masculine energies, there's no opposition to energy, and guess what? There is no polarity. So there's no sexual energy, right? The minute maybe one of you starts to tease one another, once somebody shifts and goes to a feminine energy, either party shifts and goes to feminine energy, now there can be a spark. And by the way, it doesn't have to be the man is the masculine, the woman is the feminine. In many cases, it isn't. You will always find people when they're attracted to each other, there is a polarity, and it's true in a homosexual or lesbian relationship. It doesn't matter. One is more masculine, one is more feminine in that relationship if there is a spark. Not a relationship. Remember, just like heterosexual relationships, there's people together forever, they don't have the spark anymore. Same thing's true there. It's exactly the same no matter what type of relationship you have. So for example, when a woman starts directing a man and says, take out the trash, will you? Do this, do this, do this, do this. When you do that, you're being masculine. I didn't even notice it, but you know, Sage is so feminine for me, it just makes me crazy, right? I want her all the time, be around her all the time, this energy for me all the time. But when she does things like, she says things like, gosh, is the light on over there? And what that allows me to do is, oh yeah, let me go do that for you. Right? I did that. I turned off that light. I feel wonderful. But if she'd say, would you turn that light off? I'd probably do it, but after you hear that over and over and over again, man doesn't like it. Or she'll start to, you know, yawn or tired or something like that, and she won't tell me. Now, women are leaving clues all the time. And honestly, there have been times when I didn't catch the clues. And he used to just, I felt bad because I loved her so much. I said, why didn't I see the clue how she was really feeling about this? Because I took things literally. Women are always testing to see what you love them. Now, some women will do harsh things to get your attention. Some people do easier things. So I have all these personalities numbered, so I know when the ones are coming out to try and get me. But they're all trying to get me just to get my attention. Like there's one little personality called Punky, and it's just, Punky's the kind of person that starts throwing almonds at you when you're trying to do your work and stuff. And you're like, stop it, you know? But what it is, there's this little imp saying, come out and play with me. Because girls and women want attention. Women flourish from praise and attention. Men, however, are doing one thing at a time, so they're not busy praising. Men don't praise. Men respond to challenge. Masculinity responds to a challenge, to a problem. That's when leaders are formed. A big problem happens, big leader shows up. That's how it works. So this process is critical. No, because here's a perfect example, man. Men think when a woman makes a request, to please her, you should meet the request. Oh, not true. Because if you always meet a request, she knows you're not a man. Because she knows you don't have a vision you can hold that's to serve both of you no matter what. She knows you're weak. And if you're weak, then she can't be free. I'll give you an example. You're supposed to go to war. Nobody likes war. Someone's attacking our shores. You got to do something. You get called to war. And what is your lover going to say to you? Your feminine lover. Don't go. Don't go. And she'll cry and everything else. What if you say, you know what? I'm staying. Let them fight it. She'll think, you wimp. Am I right, ladies? Yes or no? Come on, give them some feedback so they know. Give them some feedback so they know. So here's the value that I would suggest to you. I'd suggest to you that if you're going to be in an effective situation, the polarity has to be there. So anything you do that makes both of you the same is going to take away the sexual drive. That's the bottom line. If you do it on a regular basis. So if you're asking your spouse to be more feminine, ladies, on a regular basis, there'll be times that his being more feminine will be a turn on to you because you're being masculine, right? Roles should be able to switch. I'm sure they do when you're making love or when doing all kinds of things. Being able to switch at will is phenomenal. But if it becomes the dominant experience, you will lose your attraction for this person. So let me jump in for a second here. Make sure you're really paying attention. I want you to do a quick little exercise. If we say that certain things can just turn us off in a heartbeat, and have you ever felt that? Have you ever been in a relationship and you're around this person, you felt this total juice, and then they did something, you're like, oh my God, and boom. I remember when I started dating at one stage in my life, you know, and I hadn't been dating for a long time, and I went out with this woman one time, and I just didn't feel the connection, and I felt bad because she seemed like such a nice person, but I just had no juice for her. And so I didn't want to say that, so I kept staying there and I was supporting her. And she goes, look, she goes, I can see what's going on. She goes, I know you don't feel attraction for me. I said, well, no, it's not that. I'm trying to say, no, it's not. She goes, I understand. I don't take it personally. She goes, I was dating this guy, and he was like the most exciting guy to me in the world. And I was so turned on, excited by him. And then on our third date, he showed up, and he's wearing brown shoes. And it was over. He said, it was over. I said, what? She goes, I don't know what it is, just brown shoes. It was over. Right? Now, brown shoes was a metaphor she didn't realize for some other things he was doing. She just linked it to brown shoes in her head. She goes, everybody's got some brown shoes of some sort. Here's what I want you to do. Take a moment right now and do this exercise, if you would. What I'd like you to do is write down everything that turns you off about the opposite sex. If you have a different sexual orientation, then use it in that way. What are the type of person that you're normally attracted to? What would turn you off? And then, of course, the ones that totally attract you, what turns you on? Whatever it is for you, write it down right now. That's the first thing. Then the second thing I want you to write down is everything that turns you on most about the opposite sex. So turn off the CD or the audio right now and do this. Now, if you're in your car, just turn it off and say it out loud. Just go a stream of consciousness. Don't really think about it. Write as fast as you can. Or again, if you're in the car, just say it out loud as fast as you can, because otherwise your conscious mind is going to start editing things. Just do it real quick. All right, go. Okay, you know what turns you off, you know what turns you on. Now, haven't you had the same feelings for the same person? I mean, you had times when you're turned off by somebody that you're normally turned on by, and other times you're just completely turned on? Those triggers are the triggers of polarity. I'll give you one example. Feminine women most often talk about how men are dishonest. And I say feminine women because remember, it's feminine energy that's offended by this so much. And the reason, of course, for that is the more dishonest the man is, the more they can't trust and just let go and flow and be free. Now they have to be guarded. They have to notice their outcomes. They have to know what's going on. They have to control their energy. When a woman has total trust in a man, she allows her energy to flow and he experiences all of that beauty. Dishonesty destroys it faster than anything else. Masculine men or masculine energy usually talks about how the opposite sex is uncontrolled. It's all over the place. You know, this energy, they're up, they're down, they're in between. And very often because of that, what many men do is when they see that ocean of emotion coming, they go the other direction. I saw a two-part cartoon the other day in a magazine, and the first part was what men do when their gadgets don't work. And it showed a guy like with his computer device, and he's pushing it, punching it, clicking it, turning upside down, flipping it over, reading part of the manual, banging on it. And this is what men do when their relationships aren't working. And it showed a guy going, bye. Because what most men do is they run off. And then, of course, as they do that, when a man doesn't face a challenge and he runs from it, he becomes more feminine in his energy. And as a result, he can't figure out why he can't attract the quality of woman he wants. Women who are feminine want a man who can stand in the face of the storm and have all their certainty where nothing will shake them, who can look right into their souls and take their fear or their pain away by their presence alone, someone who is fully present. That's what they're looking for. A man who runs can never attract a woman of that nature or that quality. Does that make sense? Well, having said that, there are levels of development between men and women or masculine and feminine energy. You know, at first level, we're not very much in charge of this. We're kind of focusing on ourselves. Second level, we kind of try to make it more mutual. Third level, we go to a level that has a much more spiritual basis to it. Let's join the seminar and find out about the three levels of a man or the three levels of a woman. Three phases or three evolutions of a man or a woman. The first level of man is the macho man. The macho man knows what he wants and goes, gets it, and goes, come here, do this, create this, make this, cook this. That is the macho man, right? Demands. And he's wanting to get what he wants for whom? Purely himself, and that's it. But he is macho. He is masculine because he demands. He says. He does. He knows what he wants. He goes after it. He creates it. And there is a turn on to that to a point for some women. And some women like, for example, a bad boy because they know they can't control a bad boy. It's a turn on because it's what a woman wants. She wants to be out of control. And a guy like that, they know they can't control, like all the other good boys that they can control. And nice guys go, why would they do that? He'll never be good for her. He'll abuse her and beat her up. And she goes, yeah, but for an evening, it could be really cool, right? So that energy, that masculine energy is what women are looking for. And a guy like that, it's about getting what he wants. It doesn't matter anything else. Now, women have grown in their power, obviously, in the culture. So they started changing. And when women change, if you want to change men, all you got to do is change women. Because the men are going to follow the women. Even though the men think they're not, they will. Because men's desire to live, that's what makes them want to be with a real woman, a feminine woman. Because a feminine woman is alive. Everything is a dance. Everything is energy. Men make love. They have sex for energy. That's what they do, the energy. Women make love to increase depth. Right? They want to make more out of it. The guy wants to have that explosion and then disappear. A man's ultimate goal is like, if you're looking for spirituality, men know how to get to that place of nothingness that everybody talks about. They just know how to embrace everything. So women, for example, in a relationship, men can show women how to stop thinking about everybody else. So the woman can actually love herself and receive love. That's the power a man can bring to a woman. A woman brings to a man to get him out of his selfishness of thinking only about one thing and connect to the world so he's more alive. Women teach men about living. Men teach women about death, about letting go so that something new can be created. When I say men and women, remember I'm talking masculine energy versus feminine energy. And do we have both within us, yes or no? So I'm not suggesting you're one of these. I'm suggesting you have both these choices. But I would tell you this. The first level macho man didn't survive too well in most of the industrialized world because women changed and said, I'm not going to give you any love. Masculinity isn't always elegant, but it's powerful. Right? And it isn't always right, but it's powerful. That's why it's got to be channeled. Masculine energy, masculine direction, focus, demand, action, with a woman's energy attached to it is unbeatable. That's why that phrase that's been said for so long, by every successful man, there's a great woman, so true. And by every great woman, there's a successful man or a strong man. That's where it really is if someone is fully living themselves. None of us can fully express all we are without the other part. We can express it in ways, we can do it internally, we can embody both of them, but we'll never get it all because no man here who's masculine will ever be totally feminine, and no woman here who's truly feminine in her core will ever be totally masculine because the biochemistry is different. Experience is radically different. So we got first level man. First level man is this guy who's macho, it's all about me. Second level man is conscious. He does yoga. He is in a position where he sees a woman as an equal. Right? He's very spiritual. He's warm. He wears, you know, that cotton clothing and stuff. He's very conscious. He listens to Aquarian music, and he's a wonderful guy. And he embraces love and everything else, and he can dance like a woman. He can feel that energy like a woman. Most men who are masculine have now been trained since the 70s to become sensitive, to be more feminine in their energy, to say, well, what do you think, honey? Well, let's talk about this. Well, I don't know. Let's do what you want to do. And women certainly like to have their way, but if you're always getting their way, they feel like they don't have any power there. How many women agree with that? Let me see a show of hands. I want men to see this because they don't believe this stuff because they've been so conditioned by society. Now, it's not true for everybody because every woman in the room isn't necessarily feminine in their energy, but you can see it's 90% that's raised their hand. So in that position, we develop these men, and women love that initially because there was equality, you're treating right, and he's sensitive, and it's like having a girlfriend. Right? It's a wonderful thing. There's some sex involved too, but that man can never take you where you've never been. That man does not have the power to do it, and you know it. And so what happens is the polarity for these men doesn't last. It might be great for an evening or to be together or what, but women lose interest in a man like that very quickly because there's no what? No what? What's the P word? There's no polarity. If the woman is feminine. If the woman's masculine, she loves a feminine man. It's perfect. You see a lot of masculine women that are in charge and they're in control and doing all those things like a man, and you look at their man, and it's there. So level one guy is macho. Level two guy is sensitive and conscious. It's a beautiful thing. So then why do women sometimes want that guy in the uniform? Or why do they want that bad boy? Why do they want that stuff? Because they're craving polarity with a man who has enough power and energy to take them to a place they've never been before. All women who are feminine want to be owned, not owned like an object, owned by a man who can give them the space to know. And look at these women nodding their head right now, right? Like this, right? Because there's so few of them out there. So there is a third level. The third level man is a man who takes control, who makes it happen, who makes the decisions. But he doesn't do it for his gain. He does it out of his love for you. He does it so you don't have to do those things. He listens, he respects, but then he decides. And that power, women feel an unbelievable attraction to. Because if they can see you're there to possess them and to take them to a place they've never been emotionally, to take them through God sexually, to tear out of them their fear and give them nothing but love like they've never had in their lifetime, to make them shiver and quiver and move and not know what's going to happen next, but they know it's going to be ecstatic. This is a good thing, okay? But very few men will own that because they're either already macho and they're just about meeting their own needs, or they're so feminized on the surface by trying to please a woman all the time. And it's really hard to get out of that because my guess is most of the men in this room are masculine, but they have definitely been impacted to be conscious, to be in a room like this conscious. And most of the men in this room are not like, you do what I say. They're not going to come from that place. But see what happens to your woman if you command her to take off her clothes and the way you want it, and you stop. No, not like that, slower. And you can really own her like that. It'll make her crazy. Instead of just both take off your clothes and make love. There's a different experience. If a woman feels like you have command, you will own your woman and you will own your own masculinity. And there will be a polarity between you that'll make you crazy. And then she'll make you crazy because she'll be free to take every kind of little sensation she has and make it a big sensation. That contrast is what's going to create all that juice. So now, by the way, all you men and all you women go through all these levels. We're going to move back and forth. You don't stick at one. There are times when guys, even conscious guys, get to be macho guys. That's called being a human. And there are times when a guy's a level three guy starts going, what do you think? What do we think? It's not you need to live in one place. And to make yourself wrong for one is not it. Just make sure the dominant place is the place you really want to live. Now, let me ask you this question. Just because you're male or female doesn't mean that's your essence and energy. I'll give you an example. You look at some people here and you'd say that's what they are, but they're showing you a mask. What did I tell you is the key to emotional mastery? Know thy and then be thyself, right? So think of it this way. A girl is born. A little baby, a little girl, beautiful girl. She's born in a family, and in that family, the father wanted a boy. Will those expectations come across to this child, yes or no? So the source of love, which is what changes all our behaviors, what shapes us all is how we're going to get love and where we're going to get it from. So the source of love is demanding a masculine energy before it gives love. When she does something that's more like a boy, he says, oh, look how smart my girl is. Look how strong she is. Look how she does it. Look how she competes. What's going to happen? She's going to be reinforced to not be herself. She had a feminine core when she's born. Now she's going to have a masculine edge around her. Or I'll tell you another way this can happen. Second daughter. First daughter is feminine. She wakes up. She plays with colors and crayons and smells and all those things. And by the way, these are things that are not conditioned. Watch a little feminine baby girl and a masculine baby before they've ever watched any movie or anyone's taught them anything. They behave totally. Boys run and jump and you think they're going to kill themselves. You can see it at the earliest stage before conditioning shows up. How many agree with this? Say I. This isn't your biochemistry. Right? It's already there. So the bottom line is the first one's very feminine and she's beautiful and everybody in the family dotes over her and everything else. So, well, how does this second child get significance when she's always second fiddle? She goes, well, she may be beautiful, but I'm smart, right? She may be beautiful, but I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. So what she does is she really was feminine, but now she creates a masculine edge in order to meet her six needs, in order to contrast or compete. Now here's the next problem. She's got a masculine edge. Now a masculine edge does not appeal to a masculine man. That'd be like being with a guy. Now she goes to high school or she goes someplace else, and what happens? All those girls, you know, the cheerleaders dancing and clapping, and they don't seem to do anything. What are they representing? Freedom for a man. Freedom. A woman like that is freedom. She's alive. She's flowing. She's smiling. She's happy, for God's sake. I need a place where I can disappear, where I don't need anything else, where time disappears, because it's just joy. It's playfulness. It's a smile. Guys, tell me if this is true or not. The sexiest thing on any woman, a smile. If she's smiling full of energy towards you, how many think this is very sexy? Let me see your hands. Because for a man, that means he can succeed with this woman. If she's already happy, he shows up, he gets credit. I did that, remember? I did that, she's happy. You get around some people, they could never be happy. That's what makes most men leave a relationship. It's like, wait a second, I treat you like a goddess. I give you anything you could dream of on earth. I've raised all of our children. I've done all this stuff, and nothing ever makes you happy. There's a point when somebody else is around them is happier. Of course they have an energy towards them. And you go, well, you have an energy towards them. Yes, because there's some polarity there. There's no polarity with you. You can't be happy about anything. And you're just like me. I don't want what's like me. I can love what's like me because I love myself, but I can't have excitement about what's me because I'm already here. So now this woman gets out, and what she does is she pretends to have a feminine energy on top of a masculine mask, and it never works. So she tries to dress a little sexy, and it's pathetic. And she knows it's pathetic. And guys know it's pathetic. You know, she's not feminine at all because she's hanging on to her masculine, not her core. Her core was feminine. She's hanging on to her masculine anchor that she developed her whole life. And now she's trying to be feminine on the outside. It didn't fly to anybody. So maybe she gets somebody who responds to it on a surface level, but they never develop a real relationship. Most relationships are surface. Even people who are married have a surface relationship usually. When the relationship is real, it's core, baby. There is no limitation, there's no discussion. It is pure, absolute values aligned, total truth, and maximum polarity, so you make each other insane all the time. Now, that can disappear when a problem shows up. Because if both of you out of wanted help, like your lady pops in with you guys and wants to help, and you were working on the thing together, in the beginning that feels great, but after a while you got a buddy. And men lose that connectedness. Or if you're dealing with problems all the time, people tend to go to one of those places. And they lose the polarity, okay? Now, I've been talking about this as man and woman, but you can switch this, right? Just by switching the name, but keep the same energy, and things will shift. Here's another example. A man is born, a boy is born with a male essence. Not all are, by the way, but let's say he is. And his father beats him. Okay? His father's a drunk, he's an alcoholic, and he beats him. And so what he learns he has to do is be submissive. He has to please his father at all costs. He doesn't have his essence anymore, he responds. So what he develops is a feminine mask. And he lives that mask all the time, trying to please everybody all the time, please, 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 please. And then one day he looks at men who women respond to are more masculine, so that he tries to be masculine. So he puts a masculine outfit on, and he puts a masculine face on, but it doesn't really work. He's now so feminine, he's attracted to masculine women. And that relationship can work, but it's not his essence. So how do you know what somebody's essence is? You know what your real essence is if you're honest. If you're not making a judgment about it, like, oh, I'm a woman, so I have to be feminine, or I'm a man, so I have to be masculine. You know, growing up, what did you gravitate to? Were you constantly trying to build and create and design when you were tiny? Left to your own devices? Or did you dance around with the music and play and flow and color and do all that other stuff? You know what your core is if you really dig. If you get back to your core, you're going to have a lot more power. But here's what it really is. First, I want you to think about what you believe you are at your core, not what you're supposed to be. You can totally be a man and have a feminine energy to you. So in that feminine energy, it means you need a strong woman. And that strong woman, you're going to give her gifts and she's going to give you gifts where the polarity is there, the sexual energy is there on a regular basis with that person. Know what it is. Or women who say, well, I'm not like a man, I'm not like that, I'm really feminine, I am. You know, and it's like, you know, okay, that's nice, but maybe there's nothing wrong with that. It just means you really, some women are in control because they haven't found a man strong enough. Some women are in control because that's what their whole life is about. So you have to dig in and say, what are you really? Most women are really feminine in their essence, but they've been acting really masculine and always taking control of everything. And they've trained their partners to be feminine. And so guess what? There's still a polarity there. But then they'll say, how come there's not more sex? How come I want more sex than the other person does? Because you are killing the polarity on a regular basis and don't know it. So you have a great sex life compared to most people, but what could it be if the polarity was there on a more consistent basis, where the man was more masculine and you were more feminine? And my guess is that happens a lot of the time too. Let the man have the opportunity to make the decision and enjoy it, and he'll become more masculine. Let the woman have the freedom to not have to come up with all the answers, prove to her that you have a vision larger than that she thought about, so she can be free to let herself loose and be free, and she will be feminine. Now, none of this happens without trust. And trust is something that can be communicated by your physiology more than anything else. Like, a woman knows whether a man is masculine or not when they meet her. How many women know whether a man's masculine? Let me see your hands. Say, I. They know it in seconds. Absolutely in seconds. Now, why do women sometimes be with other women? Or men with other men? Well, sometimes it can be something in terms of the drive. They'll be with another woman, but one's more feminine, one's more masculine if it's a really lasting relationship, not just in energy. But often women experiment in this area because feminine energy is beautiful. The feminine body is promoted 20 million times, not just to men, but to women too. Women look at other women's bodies and admire them and say they're beautiful too. How many women agree with this? Let me see your hands. How many guys look at other guys' bodies and go, God, that is so beautiful? Okay? 12, right? Okay? Guys laugh at that, but women do that. So it's already beautiful. And women touch each other all the time. And that's a natural thing. It isn't a sexual thing. So women have access to that feeling of loving connection all the time. And when men are people that don't understand, are not there, and are just trying to control them, not because they love them, but for something else, they look for an alternative way to experience love. That's there. Why do men like seeing women together, but they don't like seeing men together? Men together, no polarity turns them off. Women together can sometimes turn men on. And why does it turn them on? It's twice the femininity. It's twice the energy, and there's a freedom. If these two women can be free together, they could be really free with me. Because men want more femininity. All they are is craving femininity. That's all it is. So the process is really being able to have that energy stay alive, because what happens is women get hurt, and as they get hurt, they do what men do. They try to take control, make sure they never be hurt again. Like 85% of you who raised your hands in here, I don't want to be dependent. Unless you surrender, you will never experience your femininity. Because femininity is the experience of total surrender. But no one's going to surrender to a guy that's going to try and hurt them or take advantage of them or not love them or not take care of them or be there for a moment and then leave. That's why they're always testing. But if a woman can't surrender, she can never experience all her femininity and she can never be totally free. That has to happen in that process. So think of what we've talked about here as a way to turn on the juice in any situation and a way to understand what you want. Wow, we've certainly dropped a lot on you in this session, haven't we? But the idea here is to become consciously aware of the level in which you're playing in any relationship. Are you focusing on your fear and just meeting your own needs? Are you trying to make it all equality, which will give you a good friend but no polarity? Or have you created that polarity that comes from the fact that you want to give to your partner everything that would make them crazy by being the real you in your fullest masculine or feminine form? It's also been designed to remind you that both these forces are within you, and of course you can use them. But we get in habits. And if all day long you go and you're at work in a masculine frame and you're a feminine person, and you come home and you don't turn it off, you're not going to be fulfilled. That critical part of your life is going to feel empty, and vice versa. If you're always putting yourself in a place where you're in a supportive role and you never take control, and you're masculine at your core, you're not going to feel alive. This is about a relationship with yourself being stronger. This is most importantly about developing a passionate, intimate relationship. And also, if you really apply this, this is about being able to help those you care about. What about your children? Don't they deserve to understand these dynamics early on in their life? So I would listen to this CD or tape again and again until it's a part of you. And most importantly, not just listening to it, but act on it. Because, you know, one of the reasons I hold seminars is because this is a dynamic that people have to master. And there's three levels of mastery. The first level is intellectual mastery. You know, you mentally understand this stuff. My guess is right now you have a good understanding. A few reviews, you'll have a deep understanding. But that's all you have is understanding. It's a mental thing. The second level of mastery is when it's emotional. When you have an emotional understanding of something, it's because you've begun to realize the consequences of not applying this. And you've begun to feel the benefit of applying it every now and then. Because when you do it every now and then, and you go, wow, look at that. Man, I like how that worked. That Robin's guy stuff, that stuff really works. I got some passion going on here, baby. Right? And you go, this stuff, this is cool. I mean, I really triggered that energy between us. And a few minutes ago, it was dead. How exciting is that? You'll get juiced. But then it's something you desire, but you do it once in a while. The level of mastery you want to get to is where it's in your body. Where it's in your body, you don't have to think about it. You've done it so often with enough emotion that it's conditioned within you that it's your identity. You do it all the time. It's who you are. And that's when your life has mastery. So that's why I do these programs, so you don't have to come to a live seminar, but I'd love to have you. And I'm saying that to you right now because I think you really deserve to put yourself in immersion. The way you get something in your body is you do it again and again and again with continuous immersion until, wow, it's just automatic. It happens without you thinking about it. Now, if I can't see in a live seminar, and the obvious ones would be to come to Unleash the Power Within or Life Mastery or Date with Destiny, because all three direct focus on relationship at a deep level. But the first thing I want you to do right now, if I don't get to see you, is you got to do this today. So here's my suggestion to you. Here's my exercises for you to take, sexercises, whatever, playing off the words there, to create that passion in your relationship. The first one is, take a moment when you turn this tape off and really answer a couple of questions. Answer them as honestly as you possibly can. The first one is, where are you currently living in your energy? Is it primarily masculine or feminine? Now, if you say, Tony, I'm still not sure even if I listen to the tape, well, think of it this way. You know, passion requires, for there to be passion between two people, in order to have that energy, to have that polarity, there has to be a hunter and a huntee, right? And if you're both trying to hunt, it gets old. Might be nice for a while, but it'll be old. If you both want to be hunted, nothing's going to happen. You're going to be sitting out there waiting for the other person to make the first move, and you're going to go, yeah, well, we don't have any passion relationship because, you know, she never does anything. He never does anything, right? There has to be both. Another way of describing it is there has to be a ravisher and a ravishee for polarity to be there. Now, that can swap, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, it's on a monthly basis, a daily basis, I don't care. But somebody, regardless of relationship, has to find those roles. And here's what you got to ask yourself. Which role do you prefer in real life? You know, we all have a preference. Maybe you like both, but if you had to say it, most masculine energy, if someone is truly masculine energy, which is it? They want to be the ravisher. They don't want to be the ravisher. They don't want to say, yeah, come take me. Yeah, that's not it. Remember, we have both sides within us, and there are going to be times when you want to be ravished. I totally understand that. But where do you live? Or are you the ravisher? Do you want to be taken? Do you want someone to come grab you? Do you want them to attract you? Do you want to make love? How do you want that experience most of the time, the majority of the time? Now, there are very few people, about 5% of the population are kind of in between, and usually they don't have as much polarity. You can make a choice, by the way, to switch to either side anytime you want. So decide which one you are. That's number one. So you can say, is this my core? Second thing is, where have I been living? Because while you may find yourself to be very feminine in your energy, for example, as your core, because you're so successful in business, business requires a masculine energy, a focusing, directing, having an outcome, going after it, controlling, shaping your mind, your emotions. That's what's required to achieve goals and make things happen of that nature. And so you get reinforced. It's kind of like the lawyer, you know, they go every day and they put the person on the stand and they cross-examine them all day long, day after day after day, and they get rewarded for that and they become partner in the firm and they come home and what do they do first thing based on that conditioning? Something happens and they put their spouse on the stand. And they wonder why things aren't going so well there, right? You've got to be able to adapt. If you're feminine and what you're doing day to day requires masculine energy, make sure when you go home, do something feminine, vice versa. If you're living outside your core, make a change. So first, what's your core? Second, how are you living specifically in your relationship? You know, is your relationship all about work, what you've done? That's masculine energy. I'm not saying you can't be a woman and dominate every man you know of and be the best business person on earth. I'm not making any value judgment about that at all. I know that's true. There's nothing that a man can do that a woman can't do as well or better, and vice versa in men's mindsets as well. But what you have to understand is it's not about that. It's about choices. So first, what is your true nature? Second, how have you been living? And if you're in a relationship, how are you in that relationship? Which energy dominates within you? It's very important. If you're in a relationship, go to question three. And that question is, how is your partner in the relationship predominantly? And what you'll begin to notice, if there's no polarity, you're either both being masculine or you're both being feminine. You're both overwhelmed with emotion and experiences, or you're both trying to take control simultaneously all the time, and that will just make you guys buds or friends or enemies, but it sure as heck won't create polarity. And so then the fourth question is, what do you need to do to turn that polarity, that energy back on? Now you might say, well, Tony, you know, I don't have a relationship. Step three, it's not easy for me. Well, here's what I want you to notice. What are you being like? Are you being more feminine or more masculine? Is it your core? Are you being congruent? Are you being consistent? If it isn't, your step is to say, what are you going to do now to magnify the core of who you are? So if you're not in a relationship, what are you going to do? So for example, maybe it's you come home and as we described, you dance and you play and you laugh if your energy is feminine and you put on your makeup or you do your toes and you play the music and you do everything you possibly can that makes you more feminine, as we described in the Life Mastery conversation. If you're more masculine, maybe it's time for you to sit down and set some goals and get clear, or go work out, go break through some kind of obstacle, find a challenge and get to the other side of it and experience your sense of purpose once again. And feminine energy will be attracted to that. Feminine energy is looking for a train of direction, a passion of power, a presence, someone who is fully present, not someone who is hiding out or is wimpy about where they're going. Certainty has power in the masculine form. Find your certainty by exercising it into your body or by breaking through something. That's got to be the exercise for you. So, quick review. I know I've given you a lot. One, what is your core? Masculine or feminine? Ravisher or ravishee? Hunter or huntee? You know, a prey? Which one are you really supposed to be, the hunter or the prey? What do you really believe is your core? Second, how are you living? And if you're in a relationship, how are you living in a relationship? Third, if you're in a relationship, how's your partner living? And where's the polarity missing? Are you both being masculine or both being feminine too much of the time? Fourthly, what are you going to do now to make your partner crazy? What's something you can do that's so feminine, so crazy, it'll make your masculine partner go nuts? Or what's something you can do that's so masculine, not masculine like beat up masculine, like so present, so strong, so there for this person, so connected and yet unbending, that'll make your partner crazy? What could you do to take him, create him? What new decision could you make that would have power for your relationship? If you're not in a relationship, same steps. Step one, where's your core? Step two, where are you living? Step three for you is, who have you attracted in the past and why hasn't it lasted? Probably attracted your opposite, and then it didn't last because then when you got in a relationship, you shifted. Or you attracted people that, you know, felt okay for the moment, but there wasn't enough polarity to maintain it. Why? Give yourself a little insight. Write it down. What can you figure out based on what we've discussed? And finally, four, what can you do to magnify your core energy so that whenever you're around somebody, it'll get them? Listen, feminine energy will turn masculine energy no matter where they are in a room. If you're pure feminine, men will die for a woman who is truly free, and vice versa. Feminine energy responds to a man who is totally present, who owns himself, not who forces it, not who's acting it, not who's pumping it up. A man who's comfortable within himself, he owns who he is totally real, totally sincere, knows his direction, and nothing can move him from his path. These forces will bring people to you if you've not been in a relationship before. A lot to cover. Try to jam too much into one session, I know, but I just want to give you as much value as possible in case I don't see you live in a seminar. And just to help you a little bit more, I'm giving you some great resources in the book summary this month. There's a gentleman by the name of David Data who's written some great books. One is called The Way of the Superior Man. So guys, if you're listening, that's a book summary you might want to read, and I pick up the book as well. You may not agree with everything that's said there. I remember reading it and thinking to myself, this is garbage. And then I go, The more I read, I thought, man, about 95% of this I agree with. And that's why I put it in here, because it's great distinctions about masculine and feminine energy. And for the ladies who are listening, he wrote a great book called It's a Guy Thing. It's got questions and answers that help you understand why guys do what they do, as well as why women respond the way they do as well. Now, bear in mind, these are written by a guy. I understand that. So it's going to have some filters there. But I think you're going to find that it's consistent with the conversation we've had. David has had a big influence on my own thinking about masculine and feminine energy, as has John Gray and Barbara DeAngelis. So each of these relationship experts offer us a snapshot of the river of life, the river of relationship. And the snapshot is not going to be completely accurate any more than mine is going to be today. But the snapshot can represent to you what's going on from a different perspective. And by doing that, give you some new choices that can create the level of relationship you deserve. So I'm going to let you go now. I got to give you a lot of work to do. It's just four questions. Don't make it a big deal. You already know the answer. You probably answer while I've been talking. What's your real core? How you been living? How's your partner been living? Where's the polarity or lack thereof? If you're not in a relationship, how come? And finally, what are you going to do to maximize? That's it. I'll look forward to being with you on our next session. And as always, and totally appropriately to say at the end of this audio session, make sure you live with passion. Have a blast.